This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 57 and verse 18. Isaiah, chapter 57, verse 18.
Isaiah 57, verse 18 reads this way. It says, I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord, I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this morning. We do thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people and then being reminded once again, Lord, where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. So we do thank you for your presence this morning. We do ask for the blessing and the filling of your Holy Spirit that you might guide us to hear from you. And Lord, once again, that you might be ultimately highly exalted and lifted up and glorified, and that you might do that even in and through our lives by the power of your Holy Spirit. Bless your word. Bless your people, Lord. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply what God says to the righteous and to the wicked. What God says to the righteous and to the wicked. Now, these are the words of God. God has a group of people that are called righteous, not because of their own righteousness, but because of the righteousness of God that has been given and received to every believer. Now, the wicked are those simply who are without God, and they do wicked things. And we have done wicked things when we were once without the Lord. We may have not thought they were wicked. We may have thought we were doing good things, but I want you to know that we are not wicked, or the lost are not wicked because of the things that they do. We are wicked because of our birth. Amen? We come from the seed of Adam, which has fallen from the Lord. And so therefore, naturally, we do the things that are wicked in the sight of God. Now, we might think that we have some good things that we do, but I want to remind us, even here in the book of Isaiah, God says that even our righteousness in the sight of God are as filthy rags. In other words, these rags that have been discarded by lepers who've used them to cover up their oozing sores and their how would you say, the decrepitness of their flesh. And so likewise, there's nothing that we can do in and of ourselves that would garner or gain us any receptance from the Lord God himself. He says, listen, I need to give you my righteousness so that you can be received by me. And so that, what a blessing, listen, that God has done everything that is needed to take place in order for us to have a relationship with him. And by the way, the very fact that he gave us his son that died on Calvary's cross, shed his blood, and died, and then rose again three days later, reminds us of the love of God, that he was willing to give us his son. And the best way I can give you an illustration of this is how many mothers do you think would give up the life of their firstborn for one of their friends, let alone their enemies, amen, let alone those who are in opposition? And so naturally speaking, a mother's not going to be willing to do that because of the love that she has for her child. So imagine the love that God has for his son and his willingness, the love for us, that he would give us his son, and the love of God that Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself, would be willing to come, step out of glory, come into this world to be our Savior. And so that's the plan of salvation in a nutshell, and we thank the Lord for that. I want to just read a text for you here. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. Now, I just wanted, by way of introduction, just kind of get this into our thinking this morning and be reminded of the way that God is wanting to work in our lives. And that is that God is not willing that any should perish. Chapter 3, verse 9 reads this way. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And this is what the Lord is concerned about, the redemption of mankind. God's not willing that everybody, listen, for God so loved the what?
World.
the world. He didn't just love some, he loved the whole world, every human being that has ever lived, that is living, and that will ever live. God wants them to have eternal life. The problem is, the Bible teaches us that the heart of man loves darkness and wickedness, and so what happens is that we would rather stay, some who reject God would rather stay in their wickedness because they love it so much that they don't turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so God's not willing that that should take place, but that all should come to repentance. And we want to just consider, I do have five thoughts today, but they're not going to be that long. A couple of them are very short, but I do want you to think about these five thoughts. First of all, an important neglected consideration. That's the first thought. We're going to see that in verses 1 and 2 in our text, Isaiah chapter 57. We'll go back to verse 1. A nurtured in wickedness, that's what happens here, and God's going to reveal that for us this morning, and the lot of the wicked, and then the confidence of the righteous. This is what God says to the wicked, and then to the righteous, and now to the righteous, the confidence of the righteous, and then the last thought will be the demise of the wicked. So back up with me there, if you're there in Isaiah chapter 57, look at verse 1, and look at verse 2, and notice what it says here. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And notice, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace, they shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. And so God says, I want you to know my concern to tell you what happens to the righteous. The righteous are protected. Listen, the lost world doesn't understand that. They look at that and they say, God's judging them. God's taking them out of the earth. But no, listen, he's taking them to keep them from the judgment of God that is one day going to come upon the whole world. And I thank the Lord that the church, the Lord's bride, is not appointed unto wrath. She's not appointed unto the wrath of God. But listen, the time of the book of Revelation, they call it the apocalypse. And by the way, in case you don't know what the apocalypse is, it means the revealing. We call it the book of Revelation. Well, what is that revealing to? It's also called in the Old Testament the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of dealing with Israel. Now, there's a teaching today that teaches that the church has replaced Israel. That's you will never get that out of the Bible. That's not true, because when God is going to be dealing during his revelation, during the time of the apocalypse, he's going to be revealing himself, whom they rejected the first time but will be accepted the second time. Amen? Isn't that what the Bible teaches? Moses, remember Moses said to the Israelites, "One like unto me, that's the one you want to receive." Well, that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Moses was rejected the first time that he wanted to help Israel out, and he had to go out into the desert for 40 years. And then the second time, they received Moses, didn't they, as God's deliverer? But not only that, but Moses also had a Gentile bride. Remember that? And Miriam and Aaron had a problem with that, and God gave Miriam leprosy to straighten her out, let her know, no, this is my anointed, and God didn't have a problem with that, because there are many types in the Old Testament of what's going to take place in the New Testament. The Old Testament is fulfilled, the promises to the redemption of God has been fulfilled in the New Testament, but God's not finished with Israel, because the Bible says in the book of Zechariah that when the Messiah comes on the scene, they're going to look at him as one whom they've pierced, as they killed their own son, and they're going to mourn. The church is not going to mourn when we see Christ. We're going to rejoice, amen? But Israel's going to say, oh no, we put him on the cross. We're the guilty party that rejected him. And so to have this idea that Israel's been replaced, nope, they're on the back burner. And by the way, 1948 was the first year that they went back into they were recognized as a nation. And if you remember, they were out of existence in 70 AD. So for some 2,000 years, they were out of existence. And if you would have told the world before 1948, Israel's going to be a nation again, they would have laughed at you. They said, oh, listen, they've been gone for 2,000 years. They're never going to come back. But that is what God can do. He can make the impossible possible, because there's nothing that is impossible with the Lord. So he says, I want you to know that I am concerned for the salvation of my people, regardless. And so notice the outlook really that we ought to have. I'm just going to go to 2 Corinthians just for a moment. I do want to just kind of explain this misunderstood blessing of God for his people. God says, I'm going to take them out of the earth. Sometimes through death, in this particular case, they were falling asleep. They were dying. God was allowing them to keep them from the judgment and from the evil that was going to come upon his people that were not turning away. But notice what it says here in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5. It says, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, listen to this, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So if we have a viable working relationship with the Lord, the greatest hope, the greatest event that we are looking forward to is being in the very presence of God. Because when we stand in the presence of God, guess what? Death has been defeated. Amen? And life has begun. And God has things for us to show us and to really do for us that have not even entered into our minds yet. And I want you to know I've got a good imagination. I can think of all kinds of crazy things that I think would be maybe neat. But God says, I've got things that you haven't even thought about that are going to awe you. And so I thank the Lord for that. So as we consider this, God says, I want you to know that I have nothing but good intentions for every one of my children. The lost world doesn't understand that, but may God's people understand the promises of God. Secondly, we take a look now at the wicked and what God has to say, and they are nurtured in wickedness. See, we need to be careful about this. The lost world are encouraged. They are nurtured. Look at what verse 3 says here. But draw near hither, come here, he says, ye sons of the sorcerers, and notice the seed of the adulterer and the whore. He says, come here and understand, because you are children of a sorcerer. Well, what does a mother do? A mother nurtures and trains up her children in the way that she's going. You don't train them in the way that you're not going. You can say this, how well does this work? Now listen, you do as I say, not as I do. Does that ever work? That never works. You can preach that all day long, and your children will say, right, right. No, that's not what we're going to do. We're going to do it. In fact, let me ask you this question. Have you ever done something or said something and said, I am my mother's child after all? Amen? Or I am my father's child, just like my mom or just like my dad. In fact, if you've been married, maybe your spouse said, you're just like your mom or just like your dad, right? I hope it's positive. It could be positive, amen? It doesn't have to be negative. And may we take the good attributes. But in this particular case, the sorcerer is the mother. And the Lord is saying, but draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore, against whom do ye sport yourselves, against whom, listen to this, make ye a wide mouth. A wide mouth. Now listen. Listen to the attributes and listen to what these people do. Children of the what? The sorceress. Right? That's demonic. Okay, so now watch this. And draw out the tongue. They stick out their tongue. Does that remind you of anything? I grew up in the 70s. I never cared for them, but there was a rock group called Kiss, and that's what the singer would always do. One of the instruments, it was a big thing about sticking out his tongue. I want you to know, in rebellion, you watch people at their protests. They're doing that still today. They are in opposition to the things of God. They open wide the mouth, and they stick out their tongue. That is a demonic symbol. That is their rebellion, their open manifestation. Tell me, why in the world would you do that? That's something that I would think maybe a 3-year-old would do, but they're doing it, and because they are of their mother, a sorceress, and of the devil. And so they open wide the mouth, they draw out the tongue, and notice, are ye not, listen to what the Lord is saying, children of transgression and a seed of falsehood. He says, I want you to know, when this is being marked down, Are you not identifying yourself as this kind of a person, this kind of an individual? And they're still doing it today. They do it all things that are really demonic. You see them doing it at certain rock concerts, and they make all these devil signs, and they are proud to be of this sort. And God says, I want you to know, I am marking you. Now, he's not willing that they should perish, that they should repent. We're not willing. Listen, we don't want a single soul to leave this world without redemption in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not true? We don't want them. You know why? Because they're saved the same way we got saved, by the grace of God, or there's no salvation. We have nothing to offer God. God has given to us physical life, has he not? He's given to us our bodies. He's given to us, you know, good health to whatever extent. And we thank the Lord for that. He's also given to us redemption. And because of that, listen, I was once without God myself. Now, maybe not to a certain extreme, but every bit as condemned without the Lord. And praise the Lord that God was merciful to us to open up our hearts and minds to see our need to trust the Lord. By the way, God's also merciful to the wicked. And otherwise, he would take them out now. But why are they here? That they might have an opportunity to come and repent of their sins like we had to. That requires us to do away with our pride. Amen? Lord, I'm guilty, Lord. I'm sorry, Lord. I am the wicked one, and there's nothing I know that I can do that would gain gain favor from you in my life. But you have given me your son, and you've said that if you'll put your trust, your faith in him, I'll receive you unto myself. Praise God for the Son of God. Amen. All right. So he says this is how it works with the children of transgression. Verse 5. Inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree. Did you see that? Inflaming, setting yourself on fire. Amen. Listen, we want God to set our souls on fire, but these people are on fire for wickedness. And so he says this, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rock. And by the way, they would offer up their children to Molech. And Molech was a false god, and he had arms like this, and they would heat up his arms, orange, fiery hot, and put their children in his arms to die. It was a sacrifice, because Molech, if you sacrificed to Molech, he promised you, is why they were doing it, great wealth and great riches. And by the way, listen, there's a lot of people today that would snuff out the lives of children for their own conveniences and for their own well-being and neglect the life of an innocent child. Amen. And so we don't want to be in opposition to the Lord or stand in that place or in that position. So we find here, because of the mother, it is a nurtured wickedness. What does that mean? Well, it solidifies the work of wickedness, or it's how wickedness is locked into place in the heart of the unbeliever. It is seared in there. You know, when you sear a steak, You kind of crispy it on the outside to lock the juices from getting out on the inside. Nothing gets in, nothing gets out. And that is the same way with the heart of the unbeliever that has been given to wickedness and not willing to come to the Lord. And so we thank the Lord that he's opened up our eyes. And then take notice here of the lot of the wicked. Look at verse 6 with me, if you will. It says, among the smooth stones of the stream is thy portion. They are thy lot. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering, that thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set thy bed. Even thither wentest thou to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also and the post hast thou set up the remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it. They're locked in. They're enjoying their selves together, and they're going to stand in what they believe is right and neglect the things that are of God. And so notice verse 9. He says, thou wentest to the king with ointment, and didst increase thy perfumes, and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst debase thyself even unto hell. He says, you're enjoying yourselves. This is why they're given to those things. They are reaping benefits. They're saying, look, I'm getting away with it. Look, I'm becoming wealthy. Look, I'm able to do this and I'm able to do that. But the whole while, they don't realize they are destroying their own souls, their own eternal life. He says, verse 10, thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, and yet saidest thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. He says, you know what, listen, we're doing all these things, and yet I don't really have any hope of the future, but I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now, and I don't really get fulfillment in it, but I'm given to these things because there's a momentary satisfaction. There's a momentary gratification of the conquest, whatever it might be, right? If they're involved in drugs, then they do drugs for a little while. They get their high and they enjoy that, and that drives them back, and yet they don't consider the woe that comes afterwards. They don't consider the when they come down, how wretched they are and all that they go through. By the way, And people that are involved in the world and cheating people to get money from them, they're enjoying the conquest, but they're searing their conscience that, you know what, I'm robbing people. I'm doing, you know, all these scammers. Don't you love that? They look at all the different ways that they try to rob people of their hard-earned money. They're stealing their life. They don't realize that, but they're stealing their life. In other words, unfortunately, it's the senior citizens that are most defrauded because they have a genuine heart. They can now scam you with AI. They can mimic the voice of maybe a loved one, and I need money, and go send me some money. And people do that, and they're laughing in another country to the bank. They're going to the bank, and they're not even bothered by that. But do you know what? Listen, God sees all of it. And they will give an account for not every word spoken only, but every thought. That's what God says. Everything is going to fall into account. I would not want to be in their shoes, but they are ingrained in this. Verse 11, and of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me? So they have no fear of God. I'll tell a lie. I didn't steal anything. I didn't do anything wrong. You know, you can listen, if the Lord says it's wrong, it doesn't matter how many people you have on your side, it's wrong. And you know what will happen? You will give an account one day to God Almighty, the judge of the whole earth. And people are living like they will never stand before God. Listen, I want you to know that's going to be a sad time. God's not willing that any should perish, but God is a holy and righteous God and has given to us his Son that we might repent and turn from him, from the wickedness, and turn to him. And we thank the Lord as saved children of God that we have eternal life. But may the life of Christ truly, may we be walking in the life that God has given to us for his honor and glory. The resurrected life of the Lord Jesus Christ has been given to every believer. Not our life. Listen, his life. And because we have faith in him, the Lord said that greater works than he did shall God's people do. And then he said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Do you know it would be a good thing for the believer to ask the Lord? Show me how to keep your commandments, God. Show me how to walk upright. Don't show me how to look to myself. Show me how to look to you and what you care about and what you're, because you're the life. You're the truth. You're the way, and you have given to me your life. So Lord, show me what to do with your life. May we never walk, well, I know what I'm going to do, and I know how. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, we don't. We don't know. We don't. God's the only one that can show us what he wants us to do with the life that he's given to us. So how often do you think might we say, Lord, show me your way that I don't walk in my way? Because you still have free will. You still have to choose you how often? This day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Question, is it possible for a believer to walk his own way? Absolutely it is. And we've done it, haven't we? Probably. Amen? I'm sure more than once. We've done it our way. Lord, help us. Amen. You're right. Because we don't want to walk our way. We want to walk the Lord's way. That'll reveal to us what kind of a heart we have. Either it's for God or for ourselves. That's it. Lord, and may it be for you. Look at verse 12, and now we'll consider the second part here, and that is the confidence of the righteous. In fact, look at verse 12 again. I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for, notice, they shall not profit thee, the righteousness of the wicked. Now we're going to, in the bottom of verse 13, we're going to move over to the saved. This is still dealing with the lost or the wicked. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee. The people that you hung out with in wickedness, now call on them when you have problems. Go call on them. See what kind of a help they're going to be to deliver you. And when we stand before the Lord, the wicked will not have a deliverance. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But notice, he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. Do you know, Lord, give us that mountain. Amen? Lord, may we, and by the way, God is that mountain. And the Spirit of God, that we might walk in him. And so, the question is this a need in your life and mine? Do we need to call upon the Lord? Amen? We need to. So we ought to set aside a time every day, because he's worthy. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You can talk to him in your car. You can talk to him as you go throughout the day, absolutely. But because he is worthy, we ought to have a time that we meet with him for whatever, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, whatever. Lord, but you are important enough for me to meet with you in a certain place at a certain time because you are worthy. And Lord, that I might call upon you and say, Lord, I want you to be God of my life. I want you to show me your way. I don't want to walk how I think. I can mislead myself with the best of intentions. How about you? I can mislead myself thinking good things and wanting to do good things and them not be God's things and not what God has asked. And so, Lord, I need you to guide me every day, and I need to meet with you to call upon you because you're worthy of my time, my 5 minutes. Amen? And God wants to empower the church. Do you believe that? Has God not called the church to be the light and the salt of the earth, the light of the world and the salt of the earth? And so is the church today that light and the salt that God wants it to be? We can look at the church and say, well, they're here this morning. Yeah, but what are they in the world? Amen? What kind of power do they have of God in the world to shun the things that are wicked and to stand in the light and to walk in the grace of God and in the love of God that the world might see Christ in us, in the world? The church is good, amen? It's good to be in the house of God, but what kind of power do our lives possess in the world that we live in, the people who we go and move around in throughout the rest of the week? Does that make sense? That's the world that God wants us to touch with his light and his spirit that's in us. Lord, I need you to show me how to do that every day, that I might walk in your way. But then notice what he says here. But verse 13 in the middle there, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. That's what we can say. Amen. Lord, take those things, take the stumbling blocks out of my way that you might be honored and glorified. I don't want to walk like I used to walk. I don't want to walk in my power. I want to walk in your strength that removes the stumbling blocks out of my way. And you know what happens? Listen, when we ask, if you don't ask God to do that, it will never happen. You can be a child of God and not ask God to do what he's promised, and you won't receive the promises of God. You remember the illustration of a doctor when somebody is sick and the doctor says, look, if you take this medicine, you will get better. But it's contingent on the if you take the medicine. So you can have the medicine in your possession and never take it. Will you get better? No. And so we have the promises of God, and if we never call upon the Lord to fulfill them in our lives, we're not asking God, we're not taking the medicine, because God says, call on me. If you're not calling on God, he's not going to show you great and mighty things. He'll be merciful, because that's who he is. He is mercy. Amen? He will be kind, But we'll still miss out on what God wants us to have. So he says, verse 14, and shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block, verse 14, out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place. With him also is a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's the kind of spirit we need. Lord, I need you to work that out in my life. And he says, if God is working in your life, you're going to have a humble spirit. Why is that? Because you're going to be praising God. And the more you see God working in your life, and the more I see him working in my life, the more we see we need him. Lord, I need you in my life. Lord, this day was so great that I walked with you and I seen you in it. I want you to do it again tomorrow. Amen. I want to see Jesus in my life. And listen, what are we seeing? Can you see God in your life? Is he revealing himself enough to where you can thank him? Did you thank him for yesterday and the day before? Are you thanking God for every day that he's given to you, that he blesses for you? And then if not, then maybe ask yourself, are you asking God to bless your day and to guide your day? Lord, I need your blessings in my life. So, verse 16, for I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth, for the spirit should fail before me and the souls which I have made. Who's made the souls? The Lord has. For the iniquity of the covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of what? His heart. Now notice this. Listen, the saved child of God can become covetous. The saved child of God can walk in his own way or God's way. And the Bible says when we do that, what does God do? He hides his face. He hides his face. And when he hides his face, you're not going to find him. So let that be a warning to God's people. He expects something from us, doesn't he? And that is that we see our need of him. And that we might call on him so that he can show us his ways, not ours. I'm going to give you my own personal testimony. There have been many years, not days, years in my life that I was serving God and giving God what I thought he wanted in my strength. And I was more frustrated as a believer than ever before. And I put more pedal to the metal. Amen. I would do more. And you know what God was waiting for me to do? Come to the end of myself. And finally say, Lord, this is too much. I need you. I can't do it. It's your work. Question, is salvation God's work or our work? Does that mean just getting saved, or does that mean also the work of the Spirit in our lives? It's the work of God's Spirit. That's where we understand that we picked up the Lord's load and let our load down. Our load, man, will wear out. Listen, we can come up with all different kinds of ideas, but listen carefully to this. Until God's people walk with the Lord, nothing's going to come to fruition. Until God's people say, Lord, I need you to work in my life and to perform what you've promised. And we still need to be delivered. We have salvation. We have eternal life. But we need to be delivered from our own kind of thinking, our own power to yield over to the Lord. And so he says, I want you to know, I hid myself. And they couldn't find me. Again, verse 17, for the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth and smote him. I hid me and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way in his heart. Now notice what he says here, verse 18. I have seen his ways and will heal him. This is the righteous. I have seen his way. I will heal him. You know what he's saying? I'm going to bring this to their attention. That's where the healing begins. That's where the Lord says, you've been doing it the wrong way. The light bulb turns on, and now we have an opportunity to seek God. That's what it is. It's not for us to recommit ourselves to trying harder. It's for us to seek God. So notice, I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also. Who's doing the work? God's doing it, isn't he? Oh, we're not leading ourselves to do what we think? No, he says, I'll do this. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. We've got to humble ourselves and mourn before God and say, oh, God, I had it wrong. Not that you don't love him. Peter loved him, didn't he? And look at the spirit of Peter. And he did some wonderful things. And he forsook everything to follow Christ, didn't he? Just like you did. But then he did this. Lord, though all these fellow disciples that you died for, they might deny you, but I won't. That was some kind of Peter, wasn't it? I'm glad that's in there. You know why? Because we all deal with that spirit. It's called the spirit of self, not the spirit of God. And every time, listen, how do you know what you have? Every time a trial comes, you'll see what's inside. Oh, when everything's going our way, we can put a smile on our face and nobody knows. But God will show us what's in us, whether it be of God or whether it be of ourselves. Every time a trial comes, do you have the joy of God, the peace of God? Every time a trial comes, the world doesn't need the Lord when the sun is shining. They can smile. But how about when things aren't going our way? When there's a storm, when the sea is boisterous, God is the only one that enables the disciple to walk on the water of the storms of life. Without God, we sink every time. And so he says, verse 19, I create the fruit of the lips. Did you see that? The fruit, God calls what we say fruit. Is it sweet fruit or bitter fruit? Is it God's fruit or our fruit? I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will what? I'll heal him. I'll bring the healing. And then that's a promise to God's people. Question, as a person of God, do you need God's healing? Do you need God's encouragement, spirit, his love? We do. And then the last, unfortunately, the demise of the wicked. Verse 20, but the wicked are like the troubled sea. When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. You ever see when things are boisterous, the ocean gets all cloudy. There is no peace, saith my God to the wicked. There is no peace without Christ. There is none. Can't be. But the opportunity is still there. So this morning, God speaks to the righteous, those who are redeemed, and to the wicked. There's only life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just eternal life, but the life of Christ. The resurrection life, the spiritual life, is in the Lord. And here's the wonderful truth. God has promised it to believers. So this morning, God gives us a choice. To the wicked, he says, turn unto me. Call on me and I'll hear. Confess, repent, turn towards me and I'll save you. And then to the child of God, the same message. Realize that if you're walking without the Lord, you need to go back to him and say, I'm sorry, God. May you give me your life. Would you stand? As we prepare for the Lord's invitation, let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for your word, the reminders that it brings to our hearts and minds, and the reminders of the promises that you've already given to us that are to be had by us at your hand if we'll just call upon you. May you speak to every one of your children here and remind them that you do want them to walk in your joy, in your peace that the world cannot have. And then, Lord, for those that might be here that do not have the assurance of eternal life, may they realize that they can turn to you even today and trust you and have eternal life like never before, Lord, a life found in Christ. Bless again, Lord, your word and your people again, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.